Welcome back, everybody. I always encourage you guys to check us out on Facebook and the new, improved TheValleyOutdoors.com, where you can check out all of the shows. They're streaming, and you can pull it up there anytime you want. If you missed a show, you can certainly go back and listen to one. It's kind of funny. I've got friends that have just inadvertently said, yeah, I listened to your show all week. I had a customer come in the store and said, I knew your voice sounded familiar. I listened to you every week. So, yeah, kind of funny. One of the guides said he listens to it, you know, Clark, buddy of mine. He was at the event last week. So he listens every week, so shout out to Clark and so
all of our listeners.
Yeah, got another gentleman out in the Green Bay area. They listen, so you know what? They're all podcast stuff. So they or they've got a position in a truck they have to drive in the driveway to turn the truck in order to make sure they get the signal right. So we obviously encourage you to listen, spread the love, tell other people about the show as well. So feel free to do that. Speaking of spreading the love, apparently, Don, you wanted to spread the love of Don Cleaver to the northern reaches of North America. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, you know, it's been a long drought with the pandemic situation and the ability to cross borders. So, you know, we've missed several planned trips over the last 2 years, and once they announced that the border was going to be open, I called one of our camps that we like to go to and asked if he had a cabin, we would come up. And we did. We didn't have any issues. I can explain a little bit about what's all goes into it, but you need to be prepared to go through the border. You know, besides your typical things like your passport to get through the border, with the COVID situation, you do need to have a vaccine, have had the vaccine, and proof of it. You also have to have a negative test 72 hours prior to reaching the border. And that's a little tricky because not everywhere can you call 2 weeks in advance and make an appointment 72 hours in advance. So in my case, we went in on Monday, and I wasn't able to get my test till Saturday, so now you sit back and pray that you get your results, which came quite quickly, and so we weren't concerned about that. There were a lot of stories about what happened at the border, you know, on that
lots of long lines is what everybody was seeing.
Yep. The fact was, we had gone through a different border. I think what most people were seeing were the
International
Falls Fort Francis border crossing. We ended up going through early in the morning at Baudette. And it took us only 45 minutes to get through the border. We had three vehicles with boats, and all of us just flew through. It was the customs agents were very polite and nice and courteous. And the one thing that we just found out before we went is that Canada will not allow you to bring any live bait, and that includes night crawlers, into Canada this year. Why? I have no idea, but that's just one of the things that occasionally things I've had it happen where you couldn't have any potatoes. It's got to do with politics, I'm sure. But the funny thing is the crawlers that you buy in the States, they come from Canada.
I know.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. We found that we didn't have a lot of problem there. Actually, it's the earliest we've ever been on the water fishing going up there. The first day we were there, it was fairly hot. It was almost 90 degrees and very sunny. And
kind of hot, yep.
And but the humidity wasn't that bad. So it's you can
it's
deal
doable.
With it. Yep. Yeah, you get a breeze off the lake. Now, one thing I was surprised about is the lakes up there were warmer than I anticipated. They were about 75 degrees. Mm-hmm. And we didn't catch a ton of fish the first day, just simply were trying to find them. And then after that, the remainder of the days, it was windy, 15 to 20 with a gust of 30. So now we deal.
That eliminates a lot of water well, you can go get to.
Right. So I don't know that we actually ventured more than about 2 to 3 miles from the camp because we didn't want to battle the waves all the way back. But we actually had pretty decent fishing. We caught a lot of smaller fish. Just about everybody in our group limited with walleyes with an over, you know, and I like it, you know, the
and the over, speaking of which, over 18 inches, right? So everything has to be under.
And so, I mean, we ended up with a couple of 19-inch. I mean, we had guys throwing back 24-inchers because that's just too big.
Yep.
So everybody ended up with a 19, 20, somewhere in there for their over. As far as fish that they wanted to bring back, we had a couple of fish fries while we were there. But the one thing I was going to mention that you were visiting about earlier is panfish. And we typically, and we'll be taking another trip into September. We call it our crappie trip.
Yep.
But the crappies were there on this trip already. And we were literally fishing for walleye. We had no intent of fishing specifically for
crappie.
But we were using bottom bouncers and holding that 20 to 23-foot range, just back trolling, you know, about 1.5 mile an hour with a spinner on them. And all the guys came real close to limiting on crappies.
Wow.
And nice ones. They're all in up to 13, 14 inch. So that was a pleasant surprise. So
that is for the fish fry.
Yes. Well, we didn't really need them. We had I will say, and we were in the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods, and the fishery is going to really blossom in a couple of years because there's 2 year classes there that are in that 12 to 14 inch range that we were, you know, we're probably catching 20 a day, 24 a day, something like that, not counting the ones that, you know, we would use for dinner fish.
Nice.
What we call. So it was really, considering the wind, I mean, by the end of the day, you're kind of beat up, you know, you're
hearing a lot.
It wasn't hard going to sleep at night, I can say that.
We're hearing a lot of stories about the big muskies that are coming out right now since the border opened, and it's been pretty impressive to see some of these. I thought there was I've heard of one or two 60-inchers that were caught.
We had a couple of big fish on. All I've got a picture of is a 14-inch walleye with his back all ripped up. You know, my son had that one on, and literally the last fish of the trip, I said, we were coming out of, going between two islands, coming up on a saddle. It literally came up to 5 feet, and it was about a 33-inch pike that was quite a thrill. He was very active.
That's awesome.
So it was a good trip, but you can get in. I mean, just you know, the other thing I will say about going up is you have to have the Arrive Can app, and what that does is allows you to upload all your documentation, and you get to the border, the customs agent pulls it up. He's got all the information right there. You still want your paper copy though for your COVID test and your vaccination, proof of vaccination.
Right. So that's Arrive Can.
Yep. Arrive CAN.
And that should be on the Play Store.
It is. Not,
yeah. Yep. So whether you have Droid or Apple.
I fill mine out online on my regular computer. It's a lot easier to type.
So by now, I think the line should have diminished and you should regular travel.
Honestly, you know, I don't know if it was the news that when we came out last Saturday morning, we hit the border about 9 in the morning. Normally on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, the line going into Canada is, as far as you can see, there wasn't one single vehicle there.
Yeah,
not one.
My guess is it was the press that scared people away, probably.
I know the camp that we are at. The week following when we were there, every single party canceled. So help support them. It's good fishing up there, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It is. No, there's no question about it. Well, you know, Don, the Canadian side of this whole thing, it's been, you know, up and down as far as, are they border agents there? Are they not there? Are they going to have access? Are they not? Are you going to be grilled at the border? So simplifying and helping everybody, I think, with the last, you know, the couple pointers that you gave them is important.
If you go online, they will tell you you have to have a certain type of COVID test, and it cannot be what you'd consider the quick rapid test. You know, I happen to go to the Mayo system, and they know. The one thing I would ask is that when you go to get a COVID test, make sure you ask for the travel version. They make sure that they provide you with the right one.
Cool. Perfect. Don, nice. Nice report from Canada.
Yes. Well.
A little bit more stories coming up right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Well, Don, you know, stories are always a good thing, especially when they have some positivity to them, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, the weather was not that cooperative, and so you try to find some places you can fish, do the best you can when you're there. It's still fun no matter what, though.
Oh, it is, because it's still fishing.
It's still fishing. The catching, you know, sometimes is what you're expecting.
The atmosphere and the storytelling and everything else. You know, everybody's a liar,
I like
except
happy
you
hour.
And me. Yeah, exactly. Happy hour is always good. Happy hour is definitely good.
Yeah.
I picked a story out of a publication. It was the, what are we talking? Normally we talk to Rob Driesline.
Right.
From our outdoor news publication. And this is an interesting, kind of an editorial. This comes from a former DNR fisheries manager.
Okay.
And the title of it is, "The Minnesota DNR Fisheries, Are We Still Going in the Right Direction? Question mark. Definitely different insight. I'll read some just parts and whatever of this piece. He says he grew up on the East Coast. He's read a lot of the fishing facts in Field and Stream magazines and read a lot of articles about Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes. That's where he got inspired to go through a program and become a fisheries person for the state of Minnesota. And 23 years until he recently retired, he was working for the state of Minnesota. And during his tenure, he's had a lot of ability to work with restoring water, the fisheries on the Red Lake area, reintroduction of sturgeon, implementing regulations, improving pike, sunfish, such as those things. And one of the things that becomes, I took note of, they've implemented a lot of citizen participation process or fishery input groups for many of the large lakes. And we've talked to a lot of people about that, Don. And the process enabled people to implement an adaptive management program that's more responsive to fish population trend and angler concerns, like what we implemented here in the river down here.
Right.
And, you know, because we noticed that there's significant reduction in populations of larger sauger. They implemented a slot limit, and it's been needed. And in recent years, this is as he writes, we evaluated walleye fry and fingerling stocking practices and adjusted stocking plans to use these fish in lakes where they have the greatest potential of putting fish on an end of an angler's line. Makes sense. In addition to great walleye fishing, Minnesota's arguably boasts the best muskie fishing in the country, recognizing the amazing largemouth and smallmouth fishery as well. And the marquee species fisheries management efforts have been directed at protecting and expanding trophy fishery opportunities for catfish, flatheads, as well as lake sturgeon. So looking forward, there are areas of concern, and this is the kind of where the crux of it is. The concerns include the aquatic invasive species and climate change, together with invasive species and the warming of lakes. And they had a profound effect on many of the waters and general trends, including clearer water, more plant growth, expanding bass and sunfish populations, and decline in cold water species such as whitefish, cisco, and burbot or eel pout. And there's no easy solution, but we as fishery professionals have to adapt to management programs, and anglers will have to adjust how they fish, perhaps, for what they fish for. Fisheries is a field-based operation, and quite simply, that's where the work gets done. It's vitally important to say St. Paul leadership recognizes this and continues to support our area and regional offices. Minnesota hunters and anglers want to expect the DNR to hire the best personnel. Recent planned closures and mergers of wildlife offices in Bemidji, International Falls, Glenwood, Crookston, and Baudette, in the absence of public engagement or disclosure, is a particularly troubling trend. The Division of Fish and Wildlife Leadership is also concerned, considering merging fisheries and wildlife management positions in the regions in the central office, so they'd have habitat research and operations. These ideas, as they've been referred to, will result in diminished service to hunters and anglers and blur the lines of management and funding accountability, and quite troubling is absence of staff and constituent participation in these discussions. Kind of an interesting concept. In closing, acknowledge the great organizations. He wants to do that. Active conservation as well. I think that's something that transparency is a problem, Don.
Well, I mean, it would be interesting to know why those offices were closed and why the cutbacks, unless they've had some budgetary cutbacks, and that would be a legislative thing.
You know, and the thing that's big, the usage has gone up. We know that.
Oh, yes.
So yes. That's significant. When the usage goes up like that, what do you end up having? You end up having
cutbacks. Now, I didn't hear you mention anything about walleye there,
mm-mm,
which is concerning to me, having fished a couple of camps in Minnesota last year. I mean, I've heard of three groups now that have been up and spent a week, and not one group had 11 guys out, and they never caught one walleye in a week.
Yep.
To be honest, we were up last year on a large lake in north central Minnesota, and we caught, I think, with three boats, we had a total of four fish. So there's an issue there with walleye, too, and it would be good to see if that's being addressed.
Well, and I think how they're measuring walleye, you and I were at a governor's opener, and I specifically asked if they've changed their process for analyzing fish populations. And they said, well, we're using the same places. Well, unfortunately, the fishing or fish locations have differed greatly and moved from rock to a lot of weed, depending on the fishery itself. And this fishery we had spoken about was definitely one that had suddenly changed, or not suddenly, but has progressed to weeds, and where those fish are not going to be out on those rock piles, so that the actual populations are not there, and the fishermen have to change their tactics. So, but something I think we'll have to keep our eye on, Don.
Right.
No question about it. So, well, that's going to wrap the show for us. I hope you guys had a good time with us. I know we always do. And for the Valley Outdoors, Ava, Don, and myself, Eric, we are out. Hope you join us next week. See ya.